Coming up on the Mascot Wedding Show, comedian Chris Tellez is in the studio, and who better to talk about wrestling with and all the people who have died from wrestling. We also talk a little about Dallas and how Mac is never allowed back there. And we also hear Chris's worst SNL audition ever. All this and more coming up. This is the Mascot Wedding Show, the Internet's Hour of Unspeakable Power. My name is David Hotta.
My name is Mac Blake. We are your podcast lions. This is episode 267, entitled The Dirty Cop Who
Loved Dirty Laundry, because he liked to clean it up like the streets he dirtied.
Still working on those titles.
Well, there was a twist there, because he was the one dirtying the streets.
Oh.
He didn't care. That's fine. It's a twist.
I just meant that it was long.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was talking to Generation Y over here. Did I lose your attention?
You know what's funny? Do you remember...
What's a Mountain Dew?
Let's get into it. Do you remember Michael Cera had a web series for a while?
Yes.
Called, like, Clark and Michael, or Michael and Clark, or something like that? I remember it was like each episode was like 7 or 9 minutes. I remember thinking, like, only 9 minutes? Like, fucking hunker down and make a half hour show, my man.
Yeah, you're almost there.
But now, if you want me to watch like 9 minutes on the internet, it's like not possible.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't. Get me in front of a computer, you got 2 minutes stops.
Yeah, you're 2 minutes and you're out. Otherwise, it's just dragging on too much.
We are recording from Austin, Texas, here at the Hodgecast Studios. That is correct. David Hotta, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Can't complain. I've been complaining the past few weeks, but I cannot. I refuse to complain. I've been good. That was also a layered story there. It's like, I don't know. I'm hiding stuff from you.
Oh.
I'm doing all right. How are you, Mac?
I'm doing good. Last week was a little crazy.
Yeah?
A bit of traveling, which we'll get into later in the show.
Sure.
But I'm doing okay. It's been a while since we recorded.
It has. Got to knock a little bit of the ring rust off.
Yeah. Busy with side projects, which we'll talk about later.
Nothing wrong with that.
Hey, we also have a special in-studio guest. He's been on the show twice before. Yeah, that's right. You can find him on Twitter at DJ Nasty Thoughts. No?
No, not anymore.
You changed it?
The game has changed. And, well, I got to change with it, you know?
Let me introduce you first, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Tellez.
Hey.
Thank you. It's good to be back. I'm going for that triple dip. I enjoy it.
The hat trick. I love it.
Yeah, the hat trick.
What is your new Twitter handle?
It's Hi Chris Tellez. Not as fun. I know. I had to stop DJing. So
H-I or H-I-G-H?
H-I. I should have put G-H.
Yeah.
I think every time I just notice, like, there's a comedy show and I get promoted, I'm the only one whose name is in his Twitter handle.
Yeah.
And I was
just
like, maybe my name should be in it. I don't know.
Well, no, maybe there's some weird S&M comedian coming on. Is like, he's going to do some weird close-up magic. And he's like, DJ Nasty Thoughts. All right. Yeah.
It's like when I tell people, they seem to like me, and like I talk to them after a show, and cool, what's your Twitter handle? A Twitter handle. I say DJ Nasty Thoughts, and they probably just think I'm disgusting. So I don't know what else I expected when I did
that. Would you just say DJ Nasty Thoughts, or would you go DJ Nasty
Nasty Thoughts. People just ask, what are you thinking about now? And I go, no, shit.
Burgers mostly.
Yeah, burgers.
So my Twitter handle is at MacBDazzler, and I also regret it, but I completely had the opportunity. I changed it to at MacBlake for 5 minutes, and then it didn't feel right, and I had to change it back. And I kind of regret it, because now I should have just got at Mac Blake and just kept it. Because
just
now
squatted,
now it's some lady who's like just tweeting about like working out and her super tattooed boyfriend all the time.
Once every few months, she'll pop a tweet out.
I need to start a Twitter jihad with her.
Yeah.
Twitter fatwa, am I using it right? I don't know.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Chris, you host the monthly stand-up showcase, a new movement called Shirts Golden, is what we used to call it on the old radio show. Shits Golden.
Shits Golden.
Yep, I host that monthly now with Rob Gagnon's my co-host on their last three shows.
How's that going? He's not going to listen to this.
I'd like to kick him off now.
Yeah.
You know? it's nice to have somebody if I don't want to be there. But, yeah, I mean, I've seen him less and less ever since he became a co-host. It's weird. We don't prep shit. But it's Rob's a fun guy to have around. So
cool.
It's cool.
When's your next show?
It's actually this Friday coming up, October the 11th. And Kath Barbadoro's headlining it.
Oh,
yeah.
This might come out after that came out. So how did the show go?
It went bad. Rob fucked everything up.
I knew it.
As
I told
classic
you
Rob.
Fucking Gagnon.
Just cleaning up his shit.
Does it happen on a particular schedule? Or like, is it the first Saturday of every month, second Saturday of every month?
Usually when it ends, I get an email from Chris True within a week after just letting me know what the next one's going to be. So
okay.
I guess I should be more proactive in saying, hey, man, this should be about this like first Friday of the month or something.
Yeah.
But I forget.
I'm like,
hey, I'll take what I can.
We're just trying to promote you. It's no big deal.
Yeah, no pressure.
It would be
here,
easier though. Like if I go on any other shows, they're like, and Chris, your monthly show is, and I'll go, you have to check in, but it is monthly. You know?
That's like, your monthly show is? Yes.
Yes.
It is.
It's in that month. You got to find it.
Your monthly show is monthly.
Monthly.
You should have one called Comedy Treasure Hunt, and then people have to find the day that it's on.
It's Tuesday at noon, the 8th. Figure it out.
Go get it.
Tuesday at noon.
Yeah.
Afternoon comedy is great, right?
I feel like I had a dream where I was doing comedy at an airport at noon.
Oh.
But I feel like I would still take that gig.
Take it.
Speaking of gigs, Chris, where are you from?
I'm from Dallas.
Dallas, Big D.
Doing it. 3 Super Bowls in the 90s. I have to keep reminding people out here that, you know, they don't want sports.
20 years ago, right?
Yeah, but it's the only thing we did, I think. killed the president. Won 3 Super Bowls.
I'm pretty sure Dallas doesn't get the blame for killing the president.
The Cowboys don't. Yeah, I guess not.
The city of Dallas doesn't.
The city of Dallas feels like it, though.
Oh, okay.
When you journey elsewhere to people like, you took Jack from us.
Oh, yeah. I've got in it like 8 times since I've lived in Austin.
That's fucked up. Yeah. Well, really, that's weird that Austin.
I don't even tell them I'm from Dallas. You know, people just know.
They just wear it. They just wear it on their sleeves. We miss Jack so much every day.
You didn't mention the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, yeah. They're my favorites. Mm-hmm. Are we getting into sports talk here? But, okay, 2011, we won the championship, championship. That was the best year ever. I think I haven't watched the NBA since.
Beat the Heat.
Yeah. Sorry about your Spurs last year,
hey,
by the way.
So am I.
He just got over it, Chris. You had to fucking mention it.
It was like a week later, and I was doing okay, and then I'd be like, yeah, I feel good. And I would think about it, and I was like, no. Oh, God, no. I just felt physically ill again.
It's the worst feeling. I've been there.
Sports, man. It's weird because it's like you don't have any control over it, yet it can so quickly, like literally with a coin toss, make you feel awesome or awful.
Yeah.
Oh, and the feeling of losing.
Yeah, there's nothing
rough.
Else like that. Like,
that's why I like WWE wrestling. I grew up watching that because usually, you know, they could kind of, it's fake.
What?
Yeah. So
hold on a second.
No.
I'm sorry to put it out there.
It's rehearsed. Okay. There's a big difference there. All right.
The clotheslines and the chair smacks are definitely real.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's. Okay, you know what? We have somebody who actually lives next door. Can we bring him in here? Paul, can you come in here?
Yeah.
Hey, Chris. Hey, do you remember Paul Bearer, the valet of the Undertaker?
Holy crap!
Hello, Chris.
I thought he was dead, but I guess he's not.
Hey, he's right here.
Yeah,
Chris.
I'm speaking to you from beyond the grave.
Dude,
wait, Paul, you didn't really die, did you?
No, I just tell people that. No, okay. I'm here. Well, I'm around.
I know, man, but you got. Hey.
Hey, I'm you know, I'm Paul Bearer. I'm trying to keep a persona here.
Do you keep in touch with Undertaker?
He lives in the area. We go golfing once every 2 months.
When people say to you that wrestling is fake, Paul, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I want to choke slam them if I wasn't 4'11".
4'11", and what are you pushing these days, Paul?
About 380.
Hey.
My doctor says I'm this close to type 2.
Now, Paul, when people already asked you that question, did the Undertaker really have powers, Paul?
Yes. Well, see ya.
Wait, no, Paul, come back.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. He only comes in for you get like 2 questions with Paul Bearer, and that's it.
I really wanted to find out if the Undertaker really had powers.
Yeah, he said he did.
Well, I know, but what? Which pair? Well,
tune in next week.
I guess I'll have to check with another Bear next week.
Visit from Paul Bearer.
Why doesn't he use them during the match?
Well, because I feel like he did.
They might kill somebody.
Well, you know what? I feel like there was a deal with the devil. That's why he became the American Badass, because he couldn't, like, he had to, like, go undercover for some reason. Like, in The Incredibles. Like, some deal was signed, some accord, and he's not allowed to use his powers anymore.
They dimmed him down to a dumb biker.
Yes, exactly.
I hated that era.
Under trucker, trucker taker.
It was a little after 9/11, and people were like, let's soften up.
He's not the American Badass.
Put a bandana on that bad boy.
Although, it's one of those things, because, like, you know, you say wrestling's fake, and then they have the storyline about The Undertaker and all these powers, which aren't real or whatever. But then you see him walk across the ropes, and you're like, oh, that's a guy doing that. That's really fucking impressive.
What we used to sell it is listening to the announcers trained to believe that they think it's magic.
Yeah.
So when he comes out and turns the lights on with his hand, they're like, oh, my God. Like, they don't see him backstage eating a sandwich before. Majestic powers.
That some bitch is a demon from Hail.
Yeah.
I feel like if I could choose a narrator for something, even if it was fucking March of the Penguins, no offense, Morgan Freeman. I'd like to get Jim Ross in there.
Yeah.
By God, those penguins are marching. Look at those majestic sons of bitches. That shark just sent that penguin straight to hell.
He retired. Did you hear about that?
I heard about it. Yeah, I read about it.
It's weird that we still get that channel of information.
Oh, like, yeah. It somehow seeps through.
Yeah, I haven't watched wrestling in like 10 years, but I was like, Jim Ross retired? No.
I always hear when the wrestlers die. I have a friend who always calls me when any celebrity dies.
Yeah.
But like, that's how I find out all the time since we've been kids. Like, I'll wake up like when that Adam Yauch died, right?
MCA?
MCA.
No, not. Yeah.
Was it Mike Yauch? He just called me. What was it, Adam?
Adam Yauch. Yeah.
Okay. He called me in the morning, and I was like, "Hello." I was just so groggy, and he went, "Dude, guess what?" And I haven't talked to him since like Eddie Guerrero died. And I was like, "Oh no, who is it now?" He was like, "We lost the Beastie." I was like, "Holy shit!" And I hung up, and then my roommate came out and went, "Dude, did you hear Beastie Boy died?" I'm like, "Yeah, Eric beat you to it." I'll be hearing about it.
When he first said you lost a Beastie, did you pick one in your brain?
I figured it was him because I knew he had cancer.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Good for you. I feel like some people would have been like, pick the one they like the least.
I was a Mike D fan for a while. So
I was an MCA fan. MCA. I always liked MCA as my favorite.
He became my favorite after he passed away. Is that wrong?
No, you can't do that. No. You got to stick with one for life.
I did. And a lot of hits on my Tumblr.
I feel like, pound for pound, though, I feel like Ad Rock made that group.
Sabotage. No. He did sing.
Who's yours?
I'd probably say MCA.
Okay.
Where are they now? Yeah, they're in a gutter somewhere.
They seem like Beastie Boys. All three of them are pretty equal on that. That's what made them so special.
Oh, on their inability to rap?
Yeah, I just keep that same.
Yeah, their kid rap.
Yeah, kid rap. It's not, nobody does it better, though.
Exactly.
Nobody can emulate that.
Super fun. Yeah. No. I'd pour out some of this beer for MCA right now, but there's a recording equipment around.
Yeah.
Pour it into your mouth, Mac.
You can add a sound effect later.
I just did. Don't tell us what to do.
Okay. Well,
so,
just a request.
So last week, was it last week? Yeah. Or
2 weeks ago. None of this is important.
This month, last month, I went up to Dallas to do a show. I actually did it at the Texas Theater.
Right.
For a behind-the-screen comedy. The Texas Theater is where Lee Harvey Oswald hit out after he took Jack from us.
Is this going to be the theme of the show? Or are we just going
to just tying it to Dallas?
Lee Harvey talk?
Yeah. And Elizabeth Howard is the host of it, and she invited myself and another Austin comedian, Ralph Hardesty, up to Dallas to do the show. And the show, the space was pretty cool. It was you know, intimate, and it was neat, like, doing it behind a giant movie theater. And it was funny because it was literally behind the screen, and so you'd walk through the theater and go behind the screen. But the sound was still projecting into the theater, so if you just walked in the theater, it just seemed like the haunted movie screen was telling you its hilarious problems. But the show was going okay. There was one guy up front who... he was talking back a little during someone else's set. And then during my set, I do this impression of someone who's never seen magic before. Huh. And it's a joke. And at the end, I was like, well, that's my impression, guys. And this guy goes, wasn't very good. And I was like, well, was like, oh, fair enough. I'll try harder. And so later in the show, I got this other joke where I ask people what they want to talk about. And then it's a preset joke. I don't want to give it away. Let's say it's about lamps.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, hey, what's the news, guys? What do people want to talk about? I wait for someone to start saying something, and then I'll go, lamps? Did you say lamps? Thank God, because I want to talk about lamps. And so the guy who had earlier told me he didn't like what I was doing, I was like, hey, sir, didn't care for that previous joke. Is there something you want to talk about? Something you'd rather talk about? And then as soon as he started to talk, I was like, lamps? Cool, lamps. But then he's like, no, I don't want to talk about lamps. I don't care for what you're doing right now.
What?
I just want to say that you're bad. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Why don't you like it? I'm like, not funny. No, it's I don't appreciate what you said that was discriminatory towards Hispanics. What? What did I say that was derogatory towards Hispanics? Because as I recall it, I said nothing of the sort.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a goddamn monster. And he was like, his response was, I think I erased it from my brain. And I was like, oh, did that happen a lot? And he's like, you know, shut up. And so we kept going back and forth. You got to get the last word, huh? And he's like, no, I don't. I was like, all right, well, then can you stop talking? He's like, you stop talking. I was like, well, I kind of can't stop talking. Like, I'm up here. I'm not just a janitor who saw a microphone and was like, oh, let me just do type 15. And I was kind of having fun. Like, he was talking back to me. I was kind of nailing it back to him, right? Eventually, he just wouldn't stop. You know, I regret giving money for the show. Cost the show $5.
Oh, wow. No.
So I pulled out my wallet. I got $5 out of it, and I threw it at him.
Yeah.
And I go,
wow.
Here you go. Go buy yourself. And now here's where it got a little dicey. I was thinking of food.
Okay.
Where can you eat for $5?
Taco Bell.
Thank you, David.
Okay.
So,
but Mac.
Yeah.
But yes.
You may see where this is going. That was the first thing in my brain. Let me think of a Taco Bell menu item, gordita. And so what I said was, I was like, here's $5. Go buy yourself a gordita.
Oh,
and
right.
This guy, at this point, he was like, you're discriminatory towards Hispanics. He won for a second.
Okay.
And he just was like, no. Decent person would say that. And he was escorted. At that point, he was yelling at me as he was escorted out.
Uh-huh.
But after he left, I looked at the audience and the microphone was still like, ooh, poor choice of words with that gordita. And the crowd was like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, whatever.
Oh, man. Did he take those $5?
He did not. So I picked him up after the show, bought a shot with it.
Yeah.
But it was the longest I'd ever dealt with a heckler. It was like a full eight Dang. To 10 minutes.
Goodness.
Yeah.
I've never seen you deal with a heckler before. That's new.
Was there any point during the proceedings, did you get in your own head or just kind of take a step out and be like, oh, I wonder if the audience hates this right now?
That is my inclination, is to not get into it with people. So when he first started talking to me, I was like, I'm gonna, you know, give this guy what he wants.
Right.
He just wants attention. What's weird is he was liking the rest. He was a friend of one of the other comedians.
Okay.
And Ralph Hardesty went on right before me, and he loved his set.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really wary of it. And then, I was just going back and forth with him and was getting laughs, so I felt okay. But then right at the end when I, like, gave him the money, I started to feel like, nah, this is weird.
Yeah.
And it ruined the next joke, because I actually did the joke about, we'll say, lamps. And I kind of fucked it up, because I was like, I had a little bit of an adrenaline rush.
Uh-huh.
Yelling at this dude.
It was weird, yeah, hecklers, I don't really get into it with hecklers ever. And I have kind of the idea, if I hear somebody say something, if it's not distracting, I just ignore it and act like it didn't happen, just keep going. But just this past Saturday, I was on the Velveeta Room, and it was weird. There was this guy in the very front row, and he was like this tall white guy. He was dressed like a cowboy, wearing the 10-gallon hat or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like right when I got on stage, I was like, hey, how's everybody doing? And then everybody's clapping, and he's just like heckling something. I can't really make out what he's saying, but when the crowd dies down, he's just still talking to me. And before I even got a chance to say anything, and I just looked at him and said, what? And then he said it again, and I said, what? And then so we did that like 6 times where I said, what? And then by the 6th time, he realized I was just going to keep saying it, and he just looked at me and went, all right. All right. And I went, okay? And he said, yeah. So while I'm doing my bit, I'm going through it, and at one point he has like a glass of it looks like just whiskey, and he just like is looking at me, and he like just starts pouring it on the ground.
What?
Where was this?
That Velveeta Room.
So he poured on the cement floor.
Yeah, and then after he was done, he was like, you know, just staring at me. And then
wow.
I kept going with my joke, and then I just couldn't help it. After the show, he walked out. And, you know, when someone heckles you, sometimes they come out and buy you a shot afterwards. Like,
what?
Has that happened?
That's happened to me before, but I thought, oh, this is, and I've seen it happen, like where they go, hey, man, I was just helping out, you know, the show. I was just doing my bit for the show. And like, he came out and he talked to me briefly outside. And
what did he say?
He didn't apologize, and he kind of just said, nice job, but he was just like kind of sarcastic.
Yeah.
And I went, why'd you pour your drink out? And he just laughed and walked away. And I was thinking, like, you're wasting your money, man. I'm not cleaning that up.
You unless know? You have, like, 7 days to live. Unless it's, like, some weird harbinger of death.
Yeah,
you got to pour your drink out in front of somebody? Yes, how do you live?
I think he was saying I wasn't worth the drink that he paid for. But I'm not losing money off that. That doesn't hurt me at all.
But the effective thing, you're losing sleep over it because we're talking about it now.
He did get me. He did mentally own me. Like, he dominated me.
It's like a weird, like, a peacocking thing where you just do something to get noticed.
Yeah.
What if he just did it in the middle of my set? I just cracked, right? We did that. Just like,
I'll tell you what. I probably would have. I probably would have devoted 5 minutes to just like, sir, you got to tell me why. And he wouldn't have. And I would have just descended into madness.
What is your point? It's killing me.
Why did you do that? Seriously, buddy.
I get that guy because I've done that too at shows.
You spill a drink?
Well, no. I just ways to get attention. When I saw Louis C.K., I slit a doll's throat right in front of him. Hey, big fan. Slit that doll's throat.
That was the worst thing. It's only this past week, but that's like the weirdest thing anyone's
that's
ever
done. That's super
weird. That's really weird. Had you seen this guy before? Like, was he a regular at the Velveta Room? Or?
No, he left right after my set, and he watched the host, Amber.
Uh-huh.
And so he probably just came to hate us. He probably just doesn't like us.
Well, I mean, I think this tall white guy with a 10-gallon hat is the perfect demographic for you and Amber Bixby.
Yeah, right? They loved her suicide jokes.
He just wanted a full night of comedy.
He didn't appreciate it.
So he had to go buy another whiskey just to dump it out for her.
Yeah.
Good for him.
But after that, my encounter with that heckler, a bunch of people came up to me afterward and like, that's Dallas for you. And I mean, I did that show with you in Dallas before, and that was nothing but a lot of fun. Yeah. I've never had that experience before. As a Dally comedian, Chris, Dallas crowds, care to make any generalizations?
Honestly, I came to Austin because I felt like there's more of a comedy scene out here that doesn't have to be your family or friends. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know,
and then you were proven wrong, right?
Yeah, I was proven very wrong. No, I like going to a show where there's already an audience there, you know, and that wasn't the case for me in Dallas, but also, just like you go to Dallas and it was always empty. So emptiness leads to, I don't know, awkwardness.
Yeah.
And sometimes people can be kind of dicks when they feel uncomfortable. In Dallas, it's like any show I was on, I had to bring friends and family. So there'd be an audience. All the comedians would have to do it. And, I got tired of that. So I moved over to Austin. I've never had to deal with it. But every time I go back to Dallas, if I do like a small room or just go in, there is kind of a just an emptiness to the room, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, I have a couple friends out there in Dallas to do comedy that are awesome, but they're like Dallas Comedy House is always fun. But yeah, all those little rooms, because over here you have like different open mics everywhere, little coffee shops and stuff.
Right.
And there's students there just there to watch. In Dallas, it's like there's like pretty much Dyer Street would be like a bar where you'd go in and there's like just comics in there, and that's like 7 nights a week if you could even find a room. So I can understand where the attitude comes from. You know? It's like, this sucks. Yeah.
The part of town, was it Texas Theater? Oak Cliff? Yeah.
Yeah. That's a heavy Hispanic area, but
it was definitely a cool part of town. It kind of reminded me of like South Congress or San Francisco in the way that, you know, it's just these buildings connected.
Mm.
There's no, it's not like strip malls or something like that.
Right.
It's sort of like a, you know, a old sort of market street. There were on the road There was on the road, the same road the Texas Theater was on, there was 5 stores in a row that just sold quinceanera dresses.
Yeah.
Number 6, though, was like bail bonds and quinceanera dresses. There was another place that did loans, and loan place like decorated for Halloween. And then one of the things that had in its window was a skeleton. And I feel like that was not a good sign for a loan company to have.
Yeah, it sounds like Oak Cliff to the max.
Like you dress up like a put someone's severed head on a pike out front. Yeah, just for laughs.
Yeah, come check out our rates.
Repay when it's time.
I hope your guys just listen to this podcast right now.
The loan company? We get a lot of loan sharks listening to this podcast.
Taking down his decorations in anger. I knew this wouldn't work.
What are the small businesses going to do?
I don't know. Probably decorate their windows and not thank us.
Man, if we made a list of every small business that we inadvertently shuttered, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
That's the problem with the show. It's too influential.
Yeah, I mean, we're too edgy, and we don't care who we piss off.
You know, it's the will of the people. It's tough having the will of the people in your hands like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know that
smoking
movie?
Smoking a joint right now.
Oh, man, I wish. But then I'd probably say something bad about weed, and I'd shut down the weed industry.
Yeah. You know,
we're the tastemakers, you know?
The movie The Lone Ranger?
Yeah.
They did some tests on it. Tested better than any movie in Disney's history.
Yeah.
Really?
And David came on here, and he says, that thing looks like a big, dirty, shit-covered cock.
Yeah. having not seen it.
You were right.
Boom. Thing tanked.
Because of me. I feel somewhat bad about it, but I'm not going to watch it.
I still can't bring myself to post that show where Army Hammer called in and just begged you to give it a good review.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm not a big Army Hammer fan. Let's see where his career goes from here.
Oh, come on, man. Come on.
Nope.
Cut him some slack.
Make and taste.
I'm just can't get a shit covered cock out of my mind.
Yeah, that was
sorry. I know.
I wouldn't see that movie.
I don't know why. I
wouldn't see that.
I'd see it to find out how the shit got there.
Yeah, how does it look like that?
Did he fall?
Is this done on purpose? Why?
Yeah, exactly. Or is that like something where he woke up and he's like, oh, I'm getting a shit covered cock? And
just
like,
Brandon, I'm a nasty nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, David, you shouldn't have said it.
Wait a second.
I was just quoting you.
I'm sorry.
That's how people need to review movies, though. Enough of these long long summarizations.
Yeah.
Just tell me it looks disgusting and I won't go see it.
Yeah, just the filthiest imagery. Like if Gene Shalit was like, oh yeah, the new Hunger Games is out, it looks like somebody threw up on a dead prostitute. Like, all right.
Probably going to pass on that one.
Or hey, it doesn't always have to be negative.
Yeah. That was a negative.
Yeah, what's a good movie?
Well, I mean, it's like, hey man, how is Gravity? It was like, oh, well, Gravity is like if you see a really cool looking dog and then you manage to throw a pair of sunglasses in the air, and the dog catches it, so they just land on his face like that dog's cool and chilling with sunglasses. And
that's
you turn
cool.
to your best friend, and you're like, whoa, Gravity was pretty cool.
I gotta
like,
see that movie.
Yeah.
I'd go for that.
Yeah, sounds good.
That's more me right there.
Oh, man. I went to go see Gravity.
Yeah.
And we bought some, we snuck in some snacks.
Okay.
So I'm not paying those outrageous movie theater prices.
No.
So we snuck in some Sour Patch Kids, but then I was like, man, if I'm going to crush these SBKs, I'm going to need some water.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to get, you know, sweet mouth.
Yeah, you want to get sugar mouth.
Sugar mouth. Yeah. And so I was going out to get some water, and I'm in the little alley between like the door of the movie theater and the actual theater, if that makes sense. I start pulling out my wallet. This guy rushes up behind me, and he was like, sir, hey, sir. And I was like, man, I'm pulling out my wallet. I must have dropped something because he's running up to me specifically. And then he said something to me. I didn't understand it, so I asked him to repeat it, and he's like, yeah, I'm sitting with my little brother. Can you go tell them to turn down the AC?
What?
And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, can you tell them to turn down the AC? And I was like, you go do that. I'm buying water, which is <That's> I felt weird. Dumb in the moment. I'm buying water. Also, when I left, this dude had like he had a lot of tattoos, a lot of face tattoos. And then I was like, oh, man, is this my Sopranos moment where I inadvertently say something bad to like Christopher Moltisanti?
Yeah.
And he finds me later and hits me with a brick until I die.
Uh-huh.
But nothing happened, guys.
Good.
Yeah.
That's one of those things that's like the balls on you. Like my girlfriend had she was meeting with some she had a business meeting with some friends at Chili's the other day.
At where?
At Chili's.
Where?
Chili's.
Yeah, there you go. Chili's.
And one of the coworkers she was with was like, okay, this is an afternoon at Chili's, so it's loud and obnoxious.
It's bumping. Everything's in there, man.
Exactly. It's
happening.
It's an afternoon party in your mouth and for your ears. But one of the coworkers got the waiter and was like, excuse me, could you turn the music down? And first of all, I was like, the balls on that lady. But then the waiter comes back. He's like, we don't know how. Like, because no one's ever asked. It's Chili's. You just come in here and you take what we give you.
Yeah, you suffer through it, yeah.
Yeah, because that's the motto, Chili's, suffer through it. But, yeah, the balls on that person to ask. You just, you row with it. I don't know what that was.
Man, I would love to be a waiter. Could you turn the music down? No. What are you going to eat? No, we can't do that.
This is my personal mix, and I said it at this volume for a reason.
It's my birthday, so we're going to listen to it.
They let me plug in my iPhone.
And it's like the worst. It's like Barbie Privilege. Girls. Like, yeah. No, it's mine. I'll own it. That's fine.
It's really sad music.
I feel like that happens a lot with my family. They'll make those kind of requests, and I'm not gonna like. Here's the thing: in the battle of my family versus Chili's, I'm siding with my family.
Yeah.
And so if somebody is like, "Hey, could you ask them to lower the AC in here or something like that?" I'd be like, "Yeah, I guess I can."
Uh-huh.
Or we've been in an airplane before. And my mom's like, "Hey, could you ask them to lower the pressure in the airplane, the cabin pressure?" And I was like, "What? Hey, man, can you lower the cabin pressure in here?" And like, "What do you mean?" I go, "I don't know. What do you mean? Like, I don't know. I got to do it, though, you know?
I remember
it's blood. It's blood."
One time I went to Chili's with Courtney Sevner.
You went to where?
Chili's.
Where?
Chili's.
There it is.
I went to Chili's with Courtney Chili's. Sevner. You guys know Courtney Sevner.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
At the time I was with
guest of the show.
She's incredible, and I went at the time it was with her and her ex-boyfriend Falcon, and he's dead now. Sorry to put your personal business out there, Courtney. Just kidding, I love it. And anyway, I was out there eating at Chili's, and we were sitting there. I don't know, it was the amazing in us, but we were just telling some pretty racist jokes between us three. No one's around. The waitress, she's just kind of hearing these jokes, and eventually she feels comfortable with us, and she leans in. And she's like, "Hey, guys, check this one out." And then she told us a pretty racist one about Jewish people. And it was weird because she was like, "Hey, this one." And Courtney was just like, yeah, what is it? And then that girl tells it. And right when she's done, Courtney goes, "Great, can I talk to your manager?" That girl's face, she just looked so terrified for a moment. It was awesome.
That's the best.
Yeah. Well, I've definitely told this story on the show before, but this is like episode 267.
Yeah.
So I might tell it again. David and I were eating at Pluckers one night, a local chicken wing restaurant.
Yeah.
And the waiter was, he was, you know, talking to us or whatever, and, you know, he's being like making little jokes.
He's
and
plucking it up.
Yeah, he's definitely being a real pluck. And he's making some jokes, and we're kind of like, you know, politely being like, "Ah, right, man? Yeah, right on, man. You said it." Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so he comes up later, and he's like, "Hey, you guys want to hear something?" And
apropos of nothing, by the way.
And after a little bit of a pause, and we exchange a look, and we're both like, "Yeah, all right." He's like, "Okay, so I got a call one time from this lady. And she goes, "Hey, what's in your atomic wing sauce?" And he's like, "I don't know." She's like, "Well, let me ask your manager." Talk to the manager for a while. Manager gets off the phone. I was like, "Hey, manager, what was that about?" It's like, "Apparently this lady called in." She's like, what's in your atomic wing sauce?" He's like, total the ingredients. Or he's like, "I'm not sure exactly. It's these ingredients." And she's like, "Oh, okay. I wonder which one it was." Because apparently what had happened was that her son-in-law came in and ate some atomic or got some atomic wings from Pluckers. And then afterwards, finger banged his lady. And then had some sort of reaction to it. She did. And then had to go to the emergency room.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the weirdest part of the story is that, oh, no, sorry, I forgot the thing I had to say to make the story worthwhile. When he first came up to us to tell the story, he goes, "Hey, you look like a couple of guys that would enjoy this."
Yeah, it's weird.
Yes. And so the weirdest part of that story, sorry, I did it out of order, is not that some lady had a reaction in her downtown area to atomic wing sauce. It's that we look like a couple guys that wanted some weird hospital finger bang story.
You want that.
Yeah.
These guys look sick like me.
That's the thing. Look, not that I don't. I love that story.
Yeah.
But I don't like the idea of wearing it on my face all day.
Yeah, I like the story, but I'm sitting here wondering why me. Hey, everybody here. Like, this guy looks
we were just sitting talking to each other. We weren't looking at upskirt magazines.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, you look like a couple of preverts.
As a waiter, you got to get people ready for that. When I was a waiter, I'd always just like make sure if I'm not talking about food or grabbing the food or getting a drink, I squat down next to my fellas and I'm just like, "Hey guys, look, I'm being real right now. This isn't about the fajitas anymore."
It's about us kicking it.
Oh, shit. I just took a big fat shit. This isn't about the fajitas no more.
By the way, I totally washed my hands. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. It's all good.
Hey, these fried mushroom caps on the house.
I'm going to take care of you guys. You just take care of me, all right?
And then later you put your hand right on top of their food and you're like, I own you now.
Just go in the back and cry. God.
You eat what I tell you to eat.
Wash my hands. Have any of you guys waited tables before? Have you guys done service industry?
I did service industry, but I was a counter guy. I never did tables.
I was a counter guy at a Taco Bell for like a month before I quit that bitch.
Really?
Yeah, I was 16 years old, yep.
No good?
I was good at the register, but I don't know. I got tired of the disrespect.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It wears on you.
Mean as hell there.
Yeah. I did, I'll say it. I did Double Dave's right here, just right off campus for a year. Mm-hmm. And everyone was really nice because they're all college kids who are afraid of this 28-year-old
who has
not left yet. It was pretty great.
Wait, were you the 28-year-old?
I was the 28-year-old.
So you were the man at that place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was the alpha dog.
There's that. That's sweet. Those college freshmen, some of them still haven't transitioned to the part where like adults don't mean anything.
Uh huh.
Just because if you're a little kid and like an adult tells you to do something, you're like, oh, this adult knows what he's talking about. And then you reach a certain age when you're like, man, fuck everybody.
Yeah.
But some of these kids, like, if you're like, hey, where are you going? He's like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. He's like, you have to listen to me. I'm 28. Who gives a shit? Like, give me that wallet. And here you go. Like, why did you give that to me?
Stop.
This sounds like my ex-girlfriend.
Right? We'll be right back. Did you ever go to Mac? Did you ever go to a UT football game?
Several.
Did you ever tailgate a UT football
couple
game?
Times?
Okay, fun stuff. You go have a few beers, that kind of thing.
Yeah, toss around football. Yeah. speed along the dehydration.
But then when it's time to end the tailgate, you go walk over to the game and you sober up.
This is how it happens.
I went to a football game the other day for the first time in about 6 years.
Yeah.
And we were at Double Dave's hanging out with my Stone Cold bros,
yeah.
Drinking a lot. And then it was like, okay, time to walk to the game. Let's get our roadies. And I was like, yeah, let's what? I had never done this before. Like, and I went to games when I was in college and out of college. But we walked over to this unnamed coffee shop between Double Dave's and the stadium. And they were just selling beers, quote unquote, for the patio. And you buy the beers and you walk to the stadium. And this blew my, and I'm like 33, and I'm like, should I hold my hand over the beer portion of the cup so people don't know what I'm drinking? It's right. Like, no, fuck it. Just drink it before you get to the stadium.
Was that coffee shop next to JP's Java?
Nice.
yes, it was.
You know what, though? It was like, yeah, you got to stop drinking.
Yeah.
But I do also remember that was one of the instances when a friend of our show, Jacob, what he did was he emptied out the plastic. When you buy a thing of boxed wine,
mm-hmm.
there's like a plastic bladder inside with all the wine. Right. He dumped out all the wine and filled it with whiskey. And then he wrapped it around a belt and then wrapped it around himself. And you're like, well, how does he access the spout? He positioned it so where the spout, when he unzipped the fly, the spout was right there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So
he invented the whiskey dick.
The whiskey
dick.
That's
great. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
And he said, I was like, how's that wine-flavored whiskey? And he was like, it's great.
Those are good times.
Also, I hated tailgating. Probably still do. It's just like, because we're in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to go to this football game, and it's probably going to be super fucking hot. And so it's like, oh, I got to go sweat my goddamn balls off like for 3 hours before I go do that again.
Yeah.
No way, man.
Have you ever been to a football game?
No. I've been invited to a tailgating thing in Dallas mm-hmm. and stuff, but it's crazy because it looks like fun and it's like it looks cool. But for that reason, I've actually avoided tailgating my entire life just because I hate being in the heat for a long, long time mm-hmm. if it's not mandatory and stuff. But hell, maybe I'll check it out sometime.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like you definitely grow out of it. Like, it was something I did in my early 20s and I loved it. It was awesome. Mm. But like my buddy Jacob, he had tickets for the game and he was like, hey, yeah, the game's at 7, we'll meet up at Double Dave's at 2. And I was like, oh, that's 5 hours of drinking. I can't do that. So yeah. I was taking like B complex, I was drinking plenty of water before I went, like trying to play it cool, like I could still hang. And I did fine. But it's weird. It's like I was terrified of this idea of like, I don't want to drink for 5 hours. I got stuff to do the next day. But it was It was one of those nights where it was like, I felt young again, and
your
it was
boys
cool.
Your boys just get you to commit to stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah.
It was
We're
nice.
We're all doing it.
But I'm not doing that again for another year and a half.
Well, who's got 6 hours?
Or yeah.
More than that. Like 7 hours on a Saturday.
I had to block. It was in my calendar way beforehand. I was like, okay, I can't have any meetings. I can't have any appointments or anything like that. This is my Saturday. And it
I can't
felt,
imagine. Sweating out there, just looking at my friends every few hours going, we're really doing this, aren't we? Maybe that'll just be my catchphrase.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's what. That's kind of like what camping's like sometimes.
Oh yeah, it's, camping sucks.
Why?
I like camping. It's just at some point you got to be. For my money, you got to be hiking to somewhere.
Yeah.
Even if it's a circle, that's fine. But it's like hiking until we get sick of it, and I was like, "All right, done."
Yeah, you can't just be like, you can't just have a destination in mind and be like, "We're here for 2 days. Go shit in that hole."
Yeah.
Like,
oh, why did I do this to myself?
Got
to
plan some activities.
Yeah, I've avoided camping.
That's a great one.
Well.
That's a great one.
A catchphrase?
Yeah, yeah.
You got to plan some activities. Was that your catchphrase?
No. Catchphrase. Didn't you just reference that game catchphrase?
No. I said my catchphrase is going to be, I can't believe we're really doing this.
I thought you were talking about the game catchphrase, which I wholeheartedly endorse. Well,
I know
you're welcome
got
for that sales that sales spike now. Catchphrase.
What is catchphrase?
Yeah, you got pumped.
It's like a speed version.
The mascot winning bump.
It's like a speed version of taboo.
Okay, I'm on board.
It's like you got a little. Let's go electronic version. If you're playing with the cards, getting this 21st century moment. electronic version. You know, it's got a word on it. And you try to get someone else to say that word. People on your team.
Yeah,
and you just can't use that word. And then, you know, you pass it, and the next person, it's kind of like hot potato. Eventually the buzzer goes, and you lose, or the other team gets a point.
Okay.
So it's just something to do when you're drinking.
That sounds fun.
Sounds good.
Or smoking on God's green herb.
Let's do it, all of it. Let's do it all tonight.
Yeah, or maybe getting wet, you know, smoking some angel dust.
Has that happened?
No. Yeah.
Mac, we don't do that anymore.
If you're rolling on X, you know what I'm saying?
No.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to play
when you're rock
drug dealer. <That'd be> so awesome.
When you're rocking that Molly?
Nope.
W- Molly.
Oh, man. I saw a little bit of first two episodes of SNL.
Yeah.
I saw a little bit of the Tina Fey one, and there was one sketch that was like, oh, did you see him?
Oh, yeah.
The Tina Fey one, when it started out, I was like, it was like an airline sketch. And I was like, all right, what's our boarding number, honey? Group 2. Well, I guess we should be boarding soon. And then I was like, here we go. This sketch writes itself.
Yeah.
But then when, because it was like all the groups that get to board before group 2. Mm-hmm. But then when, it's Keenan, right? Not Kel.
Yeah, it's Keenan.
When Keenan pulled out that giant suitcase, it was like three times bigger than him. I liked it.
Yeah.
But man, that show. Bluff.
Yeah. The Miley Cyrus one from this past weekend was one of the worst I've ever seen. It was insufferable.
I didn't see a sketch from
Well, SNL? You've seen a sketch because it's the same thing. Like, how many dumb like celebrity / pop culture references can we just cram in here?
Right.
Yeah. Like my brother texted me the next day and he was like, hey, should I bother? And I was like, no, for completists only. Like, I mean, there was nothing redeemable about it. Like, there were a few sketches where I was getting angry at the TV about it.
Oh no! I'm really hoping SNL goes well this year.
Just kind of watching to fall asleep to something.
It always. I mean, it is what it is.
Well, I like Kyle Mooney a lot. He's like a new guy.
Yeah. Oh, is he from Good Neighbor?
Yeah.
He's like so freaking funny. If you ever watch his YouTube stuff, hilarious. So I'm hoping he gets a push on there.
Well, the other Good Neighbor guy,
Bick Bennett.
That guy's also awesome.
Yeah, Bick Bennett.
Yeah, saw him in town the other day shooting the intramural movie, and I was surprised how much his body type looks like me, and it bummed me out that I wasn't doing stuff on TV.
It's like you are, though, because you are the same body
type. I've got a pennant that just says, like, barrel-chested men.
Yeah,
His Philip Seymour Hoffman impression is amazing.
Yeah.
And then the makeup job they gave him was awful.
Uh-huh.
It's like, was this too good? Did a envious cast member, like, ruin your makeup or something? Ugh, SNL talk, gross.
Yeah.
Whatever. Good luck, guys, though.
Yeah.
It's still, man, I'd take it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Take a dump on that show all day long, and then I'd cut off a finger for it.
You kidding me with this? Yeah, I absolutely would. There's a part of me now where it's like, like, it's an option, and I'm like, man, I can't do that. I can't go to New York. It's like, I'm never going to. There was never going to be, no one was ever going to call me.
Yeah, well.
But I'm like at that age where it's like, oh, the window's closed. Sorry, guys. I can't do it.
You would pass it up?
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that stupid? Isn't that the dumbest thing you ever fucking heard?
Well, it's the kid in you that, and whatever, that you just want to take whatever you get an offer like that, you know?
So. Yeah, but I got to go to work on Monday. Like, I need job security.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would do it. I'd quit my fucking job, dude.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, let's get a demo going. Let's hear two impressions real quick.
All right, what do you want? Hit me with one.
No. You will pull from your vault.
Off the vault. Let's see. I got my walking.
All right, let's hear it.
No, I don't have a walking.
Well, you're blowing the audition right now.
God, this is fucking hard.
See? This is exactly
how do they do it, man?
This is how an audition goes.
Let's hear your Katie Holmes.
Only impressions I have are like local comedians, and nobody knows.
Give me one.
Is it Bob Cosravi?
Yeah. You said that like you were asking me.
Because I always call Bob Cosravier.
Like you're putting together a kit of this impression. Like.
Bobby K. I'll like shake your hand. Hey, Mac, that was a really good set, man. That was really good. When's your next show, man?
B minus.
Oh, B minus? Yeah. Right.
I'll give it a B.
How about my You Will Be Stunned and Shocked and a Little Impressed when you hear my Duncan Carson?
Oh, I'm excited about this. Let's hear it.
All right.
I'll close my eyes.
Well, you gotta see my eyebrows.
Oh, okay.
God damn it!
Eyes are open.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, buddy, what's up? You wanna be on Sure Thing sometime? Yeah, we'd like to have you sometime. That was part of it. I think it was too flat.
That was a B minus.
No, that's good. It was flat. Guys, we should probably start wrapping it up.
Yeah.
Chris, tell us, where can people go to find out more information about you or upcoming shows and stuff?
Just go to my Twitter account.
Which is?
Twitter.com/. They have to give the whole address. Go to Twitter.com, first of all.
H-T-T-P.
You're going to want to go to the main page. No, it's at.
If you just try and Google it, you will not find it.
Yeah, it's at Hi Chris Tellers.
Hi Chris Tellers. Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
Stat Comedy's got a run of shows Saturdays this month at Cold Town Theater. It's Stat Comedy's presents Stab Comedy. It's all Halloween and spooky themed stuff. It's 8:30. Saturdays in October, Cold Town Theater. Everything else, go to mascotwedding.com. I can't think of anything else. What do you got coming up, Mac?
I'm looking at a poster that I know Charlie would want me to mention.
Yes.
It's like this Halloween hullabaloo thing. It's October 26th. The band Filter will be there. And also me and Ramin Nazer and Lucas Melendez. But macblakecomedy.com is a place where you can go to look at my dumb dates. But that is all. David, how should we leave the show this week? Or this edition, I should say.
I say let's end the show by trying to reel in a big fish, but then we fall into the water.
Okay. Oh, keep fighting. Keep fighting.
I got it.
It's got you.
Coming up on the Mascot Wedding Show, we have comedian Chris Tellez in studio.
Comedian?
Is that what I said? God damn it. Okay, let's take it from the top.